within our own ranks of Pentecost, but I want to use some scripture and clear up these things. And you know, God has a position for everybody in the church. The man's position is different than the woman's. It's not that a man is put in a higher position than a woman, but it's different. That's why men dress different than women. God wants to keep a separation of the sexes, and this world has mingled it together. I was in a restaurant, saw some man with a skirt and lipstick and long hair, and just there was something that grieved me. It's just unnatural. It's an abomination unto God. That's what the Bible says. And so there needs to be a distinction between the man and the woman. And so if we could keep the screen down, there are some scriptures that I want to look at. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, just about every wedding that I officiate, I use this scripture, Ephesians 5 and 22. It addresses the wife first. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So when wives are submitting to their husband and the husband's authority, it's really like saying, okay, God, I'm submitting to you. And it's much easier if you understand that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, but here's the caveat. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, she's not going to submit herself to you if you're not willing to sacrifice for her. There's roles here. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Let that sink in. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, because the two become one. Amen. Lord, thank you for the word. Bless it as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For about 12 years, every Sunday morning, the church that I came out of, what we had was an hour of adult Sunday school and then a worship service like we have, and then there would be the preaching of the word. And for about 12 years, I stood behind the pulpit and taught the adult Sunday school as well as some preaching with the pastor's wife. Now, she was an awesome teacher, because she had a sensitivity to the things of God that a lot of men don't have. And I appreciated that so much. And so I'm going to address some of those things tonight. I'd like to look at several scriptures before we get into the message. Titus, the second chapter. Glory to God. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Because this is what the word of God says. Now, if we do other than what the word of God says, we're blaspheming the word of God. Well, holiness isn't for me. Well, you're blaspheming the word of God, because God said, be holy for I am holy. Then turn to Proverbs 31, just laying a foundation here. Proverbs 31 and verse number 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And then Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So God's in favor of marriage, folks. Amen. After a complete exhaustive study of the role of the wife, I have come to just one conclusion, that woman was meant to wait on man hand and foot. I could be wrong. Ladies, sit back down, please. There's an old story about a man who becomes sick, and he goes into the doctor, a specialist, and after the doctor examines him and looks at all of the tests, he recognizes this is a very serious thing. He says nothing to the man, but he said, would you send your wife in here, please? I need to talk to her. Wife comes in. She says, doctor, what did you find? And he said, your husband has a very serious condition, but I believe that he can make it out of this condition if you do certain things. You make his favorite meal every night, you know. Do whatever he asked. If you could give him a back rub and a foot rub every night, that would help this whole situation. And so she comes out and he says, what did the doctor say? And she said, you're going to die. That woman was not in this congregation. There are some men who have strong convictions about this doctrine, like the woman is some kind of slave, some person who's supposed to wait on them all of the time, serve their personal needs and requests, and also these men are miserable in their marriage. There's no question about it. Have you ever assembled something and after it's all done, you find out, my, there's a missing part? Amen. Now, I'm not saying that woman is made of leftover parts, but I do believe that when God created man, he recognized there is an ingredient that is missing. And I believe that God saw certain deficits in man, certain things that he was not capable for. He is not wired, you know. Sometimes we have a hard time feeding ourselves and separating the white clothes from the dark clothes, and we really have a problem with reproduction without a good woman. Genesis 2 and 18 says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet or an aid ever before him. And I believe that God has instituted that relationship. God made woman to complement the weakness of man. Men, we couldn't afford to have someone do all of the things that the wife does in our home. Cooking and cleaning and chauffeuring and ironing and washing and tailoring. They say it would come up to about $300,000 a year. She is, somebody's looking for a raise. She is an answering service, a social director, a nurse, a waitress, a mother, an interior decorator, and most of all, a wife. a helpmeet. We love to hold the new baby, but when things don't smell right, she gets the baby back. I believe God had the right idea about women getting pregnant and not men. I'll go in the army. I'm not going to get pregnant, you know? I don't think we could handle the throw up, the cravings for peanut butter enchiladas, you know, and trying to get out of the car without blowing the horn. We need to walk a mile in our wife's Nikes to really understand where she's at. They don't compartmentalize things the way we do. They struggle over things that we don't even think about, you know, but that's the essence of the woman. But we have to understand that men and women don't think alike. I've said this over the years. Men are more left side of the brain, controlled logic, and women are more of the right side of the brain, controlling the emotion. And that's why you'll see women who are more emotional. You'll find women get the Holy Ghost much easier than men. You find that we had 4 messages in tongues and interpretation and gifts of the Spirit this morning. 3 of them came from women because they're more open and sensitive to what God would say to them. A man has the ability to focus on just one thing at a time and tune out the rest of the world. Where are you? Come back to me, you know? But women are able to concentrate on several things at once, concerning many things at once, and it is more concerned about emotions and relationships than men are. Men don't need flowers and gifts and told that she loves you every day. You know, it just doesn't seem to really matter. We just assume she does love us, even unlovable. We don't need a hug or a meaningful touch, but she does. When we walk into church, we are the bride, and we're saying, God, touch me. Would you please touch me? Would you reassure me that you love me? Because we are the feminine of this relationship between God and the body of Christ. We are the bride. Husbands, your wives just won't feel complete without your assurance that you love them. And you don't have to be gushy and super emotional, but they need to hear it. I don't believe a man's ministry can be complete without his wife's involvement in that ministry. She will be more sensitive to people's needs than you will be to their need. And that's why God has put together a team in order to minister. And that gives them advantage in ministering to the church. I could not pastor this church without my wife. There are more people that come to her than they come to me because she is more sensitive to their needs. Not because I'm insensitive, but I don't have the emotions that she does. Women are more likely to be used in the gifts of the Spirit because of that sensitivity, and we see that very thing happening in our church on a regular basis. Pilate was just hearing the facts at the trial of Jesus, but his wife was sensitive to what God was saying, and had Pilate listened to his wife, Pilate would have made a different decision. And I believe that a wife is a key to her husband's spiritual success. I've known men who have been called to the ministry, but their wife did not feel the calling to that ministry, and therefore God could not use them in the ministry that God has called them to. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus, the 4th chapter. Exodus 4 and 20. It's Moses returning to Egypt. Verse 20 says, and Moses took his wife and his son and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my people or my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. We're talking about God is going to kill Moses, the one who is supposed to deliver Israel from Egypt. Well, what's the deal here? Why is God angry with Moses? Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now, what Moses needed to do is he needed to circumcise his son, but he was not sensitive to doing that, but his wife was. And if it wouldn't have been for Zipporah, Moses would have been wiped out. And if it wouldn't be for some women who are encouraging their husbands to do what is right, I wonder if they'd be in the church at all. The ministry of our families always comes before the ministry of the lost. And I don't know of one man who has a successful ministry without the support. I'm talking about the full support of his wife. This is not just something that he's called to, but when you become one flesh, then you are called together to that ministry. As much as a wife needs a loving word and a meaningful touch, the husband needs to know that his wife is always behind him. There's something about a wife who's standing behind her husband and encouraging him to do what's right, talk to your children, be the man, be the priest of your family, because it's imperative. He will be a man if you make him feel like a man. Give him a jar to open, even though you may be stronger than he is. Wait until he opens the door. I would suggest not a week. Grab his arm when you're walking together. I can't tell you how many times as we're walking to the grocery store, into a hospital, my wife grabs my arm, and I feel like I'm finally useful for something, you know. Compliment him in front of other people. I hope you're taking notes. These things are important to increase the feeling of being the person that he is supposed to be in the family. Ladies, please don't ever criticize or discredit your husband in front of others, because we have fragile egos. I don't care what he's done. You know, if you're going to have a conversation about what he should have done or what he did do, you need to do it behind closed doors. Don't do it in front of your children. Don't do it in front of somebody that would discredit or criticize him in any way. Don't compare your husband to somebody else's husband. I wish you made more money, or why don't you dress like, you know, if you're going to do that, you're going to lose your marriage. Please don't bring up past failures. You know, there's an old tape that I listen to every once in a while of a guy by the name of Evie Hill, and he decided that he wanted to have his own gas station, and his wife said, you know, I just don't feel like that's what we should do. You know, I'm not feeling it. But nevertheless, he went ahead and he did it, and thing just didn't do well. In fact, it was so bad that he wasn't paying the utilities. And one night he came home, and there were candles on the table and candles in the bathroom and candles throughout the house. And he thought, oh, she is so romantic, you know, until he tried to turn the lights on and the electricity was cut off, you know. But she didn't bring up, I told you, I told you this thing wasn't going to work, you know, but she was covering for him. Ladies, always thank God for your husband, and God will make him a better husband. I believe it with all my heart. Now, wives, there is an area that you will always be challenged, and the world has a saying, ladies first. And I believe that we need to honor our ladies and give them the honor that is due. But the Bible puts the wives as a link between the husband and the children. If you went to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, it gives you the arc of the God, Jesus, husband, wife, children, and how we're supposed to submit in that order. Although she is addressed first, we find it's, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord in Ephesians 5 and 22. The principle of God is when we submit, we are always protected. If you don't hear anything I say for the rest of the night, understand this. When people aren't willing to submit to the authority, they always get from out of the protection of God. Not just the authority, but the protection of God. Things never go well when you thumb your nose at authority. When we submit, we're protected. When we rebel, we are on our own. Take a look at Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I'm not preaching long, so please listen fast. Genesis 3 and verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So we find that she was the one who was tempted. Had she gone to her husband, had she gone to Adam and said, you know what, here's the word that I got from the serpent, if she would have stayed under that authority, I wonder where we would be today, you see. So it's important. The area of a wife is always challenged by submission. Take a look at verse number 16 of that 3rd chapter. There's a curse that was given to the woman because of her involvement in this sin. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So here's the curse. The curse is, first of all, we're going to have problems in the pregnancy. It's going to be sorrow in conception and also in childbearing, but also your desire shall be to rule over your husband, but he will rule over you. That's part of the curse. There's something that's inherent within a woman who wants to take charge or authority over her authority. There's not too many amens in here, but it's true, folks. The word desire means to run over. Since that day in the garden, there has been a power struggle between the husband and the wife. Eve was happy to be a helpmeet until the curse. And I believe that when we come into the church, it just makes our marriage so much better. Glory to God. Women don't have to be positioned in a place of authority that is in competition with their husbands. Even though many wives work, they're still not in competition with paychecks or the positions they have, and you get into that kind of thing, you're in big trouble. The woman is vulnerable to attack in the world. physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And many times it's hard for a woman to ward off those attacks, especially if she's working outside of the home. But the husband's duty is to protect her in these vulnerable areas. And the husband is meant to be that protector. The irate neighbor. I'm going to tell my husband, I'll talk to my husband about that. Don't fend for yourself. Don't take up the cause that isn't yours. When children are disrespectful and perhaps even abusive to the wife, your father is going to hear about that. Understand that there's a position that the father has in order to correct and discipline that many times should be handed over to him. If the father hears the slightest hint of disrespect towards the mother, he needs to put a stop to that immediately. Women should not be abused by their own children or people within the family. Certainly, husbands should never abuse their wives in a verbal manner or any other manner. Children should always know that behind the mother stands the authority of the father. Amen. Part of a son's legacy is respecting his own wife the same way the husband respected the mother, you see. And so what our kids are learning is when a husband takes his position in the family and the woman takes her position in the family, then you can see the same thing happening in the son or the daughter of that family, because they're learning the respect and the authority that needs to be adhered to. We know that a woman is more vulnerable to spiritual attacks, and especially along the lines of deception. A woman can easily be deceived simply by a sympathetic story and buy into somebody else's mess, if you will. But what she needs to do is go to her husband and say, "Here's what I heard. What do you think?" Because he is the spiritual protector of the family and can say, "No, don't enter into that thing. I know there's something within you that wants to do that, but don't do that. It will protect you," you see. Glory to God. Her protector is found in coming under the husband's authority. Eve would not have been deceived if she had gone to Adam first. So let's take a look at a few scriptures. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And starting in verse number 11. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be silent." Verse 13, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." So here's what it's saying. This is so misunderstood. Verse number 11, it says, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection." Now, the word silence there means peaceable, peaceable. "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man." And the word man there in the original is husband. So what God is saying is, okay, here we have a team, a husband and wife. It shouldn't be the wife that is teaching, but the husband. She should not be directing the teaching, especially to men. It should be the husband taking authority in these spiritual acts. And then if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, there's a lot of misconception in this area. God is not a respecter of persons, nor is he a respecter of gender. And it's not that God loves men more than women or women more than men, you see. And then in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, it says, Paul says to the church, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Verse 36, what? See, Paul is being facetious here. You know, I know there are a lot of people don't get it, but he says, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. Now, if it's done in decently in order, you're not usurping the authority that is over you. You know, when someone stands in this pulpit, the gifts of the Spirit are subject to the pulpit, the authority that is here. Many times someone has to wait for an opening in order to bring in the gifts of tongues, interpretation, or prophecy. The same is true with submission to the authority that is over you. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. That's a great chapter. Some of the greatest things are just established in one chapter of this book, in chapter 2. Where are the dead? Talks about baptism, repentance, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And verse number 17, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, do you think that's just men? Or men and women, men and women. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So it's saying in these last days, when the church was established, what's going to happen? Women are going to prophesy. And can you prophesy through the gifts of the Spirit? And can you prophesy from the pulpit? Absolutely. Glory to God. You know, there are people who have left this church years ago, not for a long time, years ago, because I had a woman standing in the pulpit. Well, bless God, that's wrong. You're wrong. You don't understand what the scriptures really say. Glory to God. Take a look at Acts 18. And verse number 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. You know what? That's about 80% of the Christian world today. You know? I think there's some really outstanding preachers who have great oratory and they really have a touch of God on them, but they have a lack of knowledge, and the only baptism they know is Matthew 28 and 19, baptizing in the titles. In this case, it's John's baptism, which is a baptism of believe on the Lord. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Here is a husband-wife team, Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla is the wife. She was a part of expounding unto Apollos the whole gospel of God. It's a great team. I believe it's important that men and women work together. The first person Jesus spoke to after his resurrection was a woman. It was Mary. I mean, the disciples ran into the sepulcher and they ran out. They had a focus that we're going to find him. And Mary's saying, no, I'm just going to wait here. I'm going to wait on the Lord. And so God uses her. The first person that hears about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, worship God in spirit and truth, is a woman who is at a well. It seems like God reveals more revelation to those women in the Bible than even men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 2 John as our musicians come? 2 John. Verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children. So here's a woman, I believe, who's in a position of a pastor, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Glory to God. So we find here that John is addressing a lady who I believe is the elect, or pastor, as the original says. And so, you know what? God wants women to minister within the church. Glory to God. God's intention is that the husband should stand between the wife and the world as the protector, just as Christ protects the bride. We don't need to get into these skirmishes, because all we have to do is refer to the authority that God has put over us, and he's going to take care of our problems. The same thing is true for ladies. Ladies, don't enter into some of these skirmishes. Turn them over to your husband, who is equipped and has the authority by God in order to handle them. Those of you ladies who are not married and not living under your father's authority, your pastor becomes that protector and your authority. And you need to understand that. When you have issues that you don't understand, and you don't have a husband, or you don't have a father in order to run it by, or say, will you help me? Will you protect me? God puts the pastor in that place in order to help you in that area. Glory to God. Ladies, you belong on a pedestal. And allow us, I'm serious, allow us to keep you on that pedestal, to give you the respect that you truly, ladies need the respect that the church and their husbands and men in the congregation, real men, we need to raise up our kids in order to respect ladies within the church and stay on that pedestal. For your own interest. Glory to God. Now, when you leave here, you go outside and you stand by your door. And you wait, and you wait for him to open that door for you. Glory to God. Beloved, need to love one another. The love is of God. And everyone that loveth, knoweth God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen, amen. Ladies, I love you. I really do. I really believe ladies and their long hair are the mercy seat of the church. Every 5, 6, 7 years I teach on hair. I need to do it again because it's important to understand. I saw Sister Godoy walking around here this morning at the altar, and her hair was dragging on the floor this long. I said to my wife, take a picture of that. That's the glory. Isaiah 58 and 8 says that the glory of the woman is the rear guard of the family. You listen to me. We have all of the armor that God says, the helmet, the breastplate, all in the front. But the thing that ladies do in order to protect their family from a sneak attack is their hair. Amen. And ladies, I'm telling you, you become the mercy seat, the place that God wants to dwell. Amen. I've been in ladies' meetings that there have been such a move of God. It's so incredible. You have the greatest conference in the entire state, barring none, because there are ladies who are the mercy seat, and God is just there. Glory to God. Amen. Husbands, compliment your wife this week, would you? Treat her like a lady, would you? Amen. Could you clap your hands unto God? Amen. The altar's open.